Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, July 25th. From Capitol coverage, Colorado has a new governor today, but only for about 5 hours. Senate President Leroy Garcia is taking over gubernatorial duties from Jared Polis while he and Lieutenant Governor Diane Primavera travel out of state. Polis is attending the National Governors Association meeting in Utah, and Primavera is at a national security conference in Pennsylvania. Some of Garcia's Senate colleagues are jokingly warning him he can't make his hometown of Pueblo the state capital while he serves as acting governor. And in more from Scott Franz, Governor Jared Polis is trying to turn the recall effort against him into a fundraising opportunity.
Polis is asking supporters to donate $5 to his campaign fund to help him fight the recall effort. And he has some strong words for the conservatives who are trying to oust him from office, saying they are trying to, quote, turn democracy on its head. The fundraising email is a signal the governor is taking a more aggressive approach to the recall. He previously answered questions about it by saying he's focused on leading the state and building a Colorado for all. Residents who want to remove Polis from office say he's adopting policies against the will of voters. They must gather more than 631,000 signatures to get the recall on the ballot. I'm Scott Franz at the state capitol.
Here's an update on a story that KVNF has been covering for many years. The efforts of local energy cooperative Delta Montrose Electric Association to end its long-term contract with a large power wholesaler. Jody Peterson has the story.
The Delta Montrose Electric Association has achieved a goal it's been working toward for more than a decade. Earlier this week, DMEA announced that it will withdraw from membership in Tri-State Generation and Transmission Association. DMEA, which serves Montrose, Delta, and Gunnison counties, gets almost all of its electricity through Tri-State, a large wholesale supplier that serves more than 40 rural power cooperatives. But DMEA has long sought to end that agreement. Virginia Harmon, Chief Operating Officer of DMEA, discusses the reasons the association wanted to withdraw from its contract with Tri-State.
For more than a decade, DMEA has worked to effect change within the Tri-State system. For example, we were one of the first cooperatives to meet our 5% cap on self-generation, and that was by building our local renewables here through hydropower and solar installations that DMEA built and owns. We asked Tri-State if we could raise that cap on local self-generation, but we were unsuccessful in that. Another reason we were concerned and wanted to leave Tri-State was a continual rising power cost. We watched costs on the open market go down while our Tri-State costs continue to increase.
The settlement that DMEA reached with Tri-State after lengthy litigation includes a fair and reasonable charge to DMEA for exiting its contract early. That contract was originally supposed to extend to 2040, but now will end May 1st, 2020. DMEA's withdrawal from Tri-State next spring will benefit members in several ways, says Harmon.
First and foremost, we want to assure all of our members that DMEA will remain a safe, reliable, and member-owned cooperative, regardless of who our power supplier is. The ways that our members will benefit from this withdrawal from Tri-State include rate stabilization, increased flexibility for adding more local generation, and an increased ability to attract businesses to our area through competitive rates.
DMEA's new power supplier will be Guzman Energy, a Denver-based power wholesaler that focuses on clean energy.
We're very pleased that their vision of the future of the electric industry aligns well with ours. When I talk about one of the benefits that we're going to be getting from Guzman, you know, we talk about rate stabilization and increased flexibility to add more local generation. We do have a lot of potentials for what that local generation could be: micro hydro, additional hydro on the South Canal, additional solar opportunities within our area, and we're looking forward to investigating all of those opportunities.
Recently, DMEA proposed raising its power rates this fall. The new agreement won't change that. Here's Virginia Harmon of DMEA again.
We haven't taken a rate increase in nearly 3 years now, during which time our rates have continued to go up with Tri-State, and so the rate increase is necessary.
For KVNF, this is Jody Peterson.
According to the Denver Post, the drought is gone, Colorado's soil mostly remains wet, and now the state's reservoirs are filling back up. Colorado's snowpack didn't fully melt off until last week, and reservoirs are officially at above average levels. As of the end of June, one statewide statistic placed reservoirs at 105% of average. That's the first time statewide reservoir storage has been above average since May of 2018. At the same time last year, Colorado's reservoirs were at 92% of average. According to Denver Water's reservoir level statistics, more than half of the 11 reservoirs in their system are completely full, and all 11 are filled to at least 92% of capacity. Even with statewide reservoirs above average, they were at 76% of capacity at the end of June. Denver Water's statistics may indicate that reservoir levels have continued to climb in July as snow remained on the ground deep into the summer. At the end of May, statewide reservoirs were at 90% of average, and those numbers will likely climb through the rest of July. Most of northern and central Colorado's reservoirs are at or near capacity. The Yampa, White, Colorado, and North Platte reservoir storage systems were at 92% or above. But the biggest improvement from 2018 comes in southwestern Colorado, which was ravaged by drought and wildfires last summer. The San Juan reservoir storage areas were at full capacity at the end of June, nearly double last year's levels. Hefty improvements were also noted in the upper Rio Grande and Gunnison storage systems as well. Colorado's reservoir system takes on an outsized importance. Straddling the Continental Divide, Colorado's rivers provide drinking and agricultural water for several states, including California, Nevada, Arizona, Kansas, and Utah. And finally today, vaping is now prohibited indoors and in most public places after new provisions of the Colorado Clean Indoor Act went into effect July 1st. The prohibition applies to all bars and restaurants. People will have to stand 25 feet from entrances while smoking or vaping. All motel and hotel rooms, all businesses and common areas of assisted living facilities are smoke and vape free. The Colorado Clean Indoor Act already barred smoking in most public places. It was expanded to include vaping. Vaping and smoking are allowed in cigar bars, tobacco and vape retail shops that meet certain requirements, as well as in certain marijuana testing rooms. The expanded law comes as Colorado high school students were found to vape twice as much as the national average. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, July 25th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.